Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah. Welcome back! Brent's back! Hi, guys. It is the Migs Cast. Back to the old ways.
Ish.
I'm Steve Migs. I'm here with the Reverend Fuego.
Hello.
I'm here with Glenn Cannon.
End of days.
Glenn Cannon was not supposed to be here.
Yeah, right?
You weren't supposed to be back.
Yeah, actually,
and you weren't supposed to be here. What the hell is going on here?
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I would be in Cave Junction waiting for my show tomorrow night
Excuse
in O'Brien.
Me, is that a euphemism?
No. Yeah. No, it's a place.
I knew that girl in high school, too.
Hey, my wife grew up in Cave Junction, fella said.
Take it
actually,
back.
She'd be making the same jokes. But yeah, no, I would be in Oregon right now with the day off. Waiting for tomorrow night's show.
El Toro is canceled, though.
El Toro was laid waste.
I don't know. This is going to one day make the most amazing documentary about how in the year 2020, like, the world of performance art completely got it taken in the rear end from the coronavirus. Not just music, but like I'm watching in the wrestling world.
Dude, everything.
It's crippling the independent wrestling scene.
If it's a restaurant, anything entertainment based is boned.
Yep.
And I'm talking right down to movie theaters.
They're closing down all movie theaters.
Yeah, just forget it.
Regal said that they're just doing it.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean.
You don't want to be that guy.
Exactly. And you can be like 6 feet away from a person, but at this point in time, why take a chance?
But then you always get that one Nimrod that sits next to you, even though you're supposed to be like 6 feet
and
away.
And still brings a screaming child to an R-rated feature.
Yep.
There's two people in the theater. Everyone else has been quarantined. It's you, some a-hole, and his baby.
And he sits right next to you.
And they have all the candy that's in like individual wrappers that has really.
So they're opening. Yeah.
Welcome to the Crinkle Zone.
Yeah, it's like you give
my
them coronavirus.
Chris Crinkle.
And I can't hear.
And then they turn to you and say, oh, what did he just say?
What did he say?
Oh, dude, that, not to rag on my wife because I love her.
Oh, yeah.
But we just started watching Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
The show
amazing show.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
fantastic. We're only two episodes in, but like I look forward to watching this
season
show.
After season, it is incredible.
I mean, it starts off with a bang. It's like, it's insane how good that show is. But like, we're maybe 10 minutes in. She's like, who's this person? Who's this person? I'm like, I don't know.
We're watching this at the exact same time.
I'm not the damn director, hon.
Oh, those
I'm
unanswerables,
like,
man.
I almost got to the point where I'm like, just Wikipedia if you want the answers. they break down every episode, I'm sure. They do that for every television show. I don't know who this guy is. Why is this guy doing this to this guy? For all, I don't know, but I'm about to man as well if you just don't shut up.
Wow.
And all she really wants,
that's what happens, dude,
it's not that she doesn't know. It's not that she doesn't know or she can't follow. What she really wants is just to spend a little time interacting with Steve and look at the attitude she gets.
What a bad husband.
I put on the nice
way to
pants.
Be a oh, are you cool
oh,
about
nice
it?
Pants.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing this for my boys. Like, I'm bitchy with my boys. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out soon, honey. Because it's like, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on either just yet.
Have you
but
tried
we'll
doing
it
a thing
out.
Yet where you sort of nod, smile, and then just point at the screen?
Oh, that won't work.
Oh, no?
I might as well just yell at her.
Yeah, that's a little PA right there.
Well, Tony and I have been together so long that sometimes something like that will happen, and I'll do that as if to say, I think the answer is coming.
Yeah.
But I am really hanging on every word. And she'll be like, and then a second later she'll be like, or sometimes literally because it is, 2020, we'll just pause.
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
Click.
Yeah.
Huh. And I'll be like, she'll be like, I don't think you need to fill me in, but what? Because like sometimes it's one of those, she'll run out to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Always, or I'll be like, babe, I'm going to, she'll be like, do you want me to pause?
Yeah.
It's a courtesy that we offer each other. Do you want me to pause? No, don't pause. But then sometimes when you come back, it's
yeah, we've done that before. Yeah.
You're not going to believe what you missed. Let me rewind or let me fill you in.
I pause. My favorite though is also during the show. She's like, who's this guy? Now it's towards the end. And I mean, I know who this guy is, but the whole show, she's on her phone. And I am guilty of it too, so I'm not going to give her a hard time for playing on her phone.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this is going to be really difficult to explain.
No, see, man, that's kind of where I draw the line.
Yeah. If you're on your
If she's effing around on her phone, it's like, do you want to eff around on your phone or do you want to watch television?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love movies and I collect movies. So it's like, if you're going to watch a movie, watch a movie. But if you're effing around on your social media and not paying attention, then I'm sorry.
Well, in all fairness, like, I have no problem if you're going to eff around on your phone. Like, I do it. But if I'm confused by something because I was too distracted by effing around on my phone, I just accept that I'm not going to know the answer, or I go look it up on my phone.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, I mean, I obviously wasn't paying attention. I don't need to like slow things down because you are and I'm not. You know what I mean?
Tawny and I both have done the thing where we're effing around on our phones and realize we've missed something.
Oh, yeah.
And we both go, oh. And so we both then put our phones down and rewind. Yeah. To see what it is we've missed.
The best was like, there's one moment where it was like a pivotal scene. I think it was in episode 2. I don't remember. But she's like, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I'm like, they are really literally explaining what is going on
right now.
If I rewind it and we just be quiet, we'll get, but there's no tactful way to do it. You know, so I'm just like, I think she likes the show. I just feel like I'm going to have to really pay attention because I'm going to have to explain moments to her, which is fine because this show really makes me not want to look at my phone. It's
that's
good.
Yeah, cool.
If it's really
if
that
the show's good, you'll find
it's right up there with Total Divas.
The instinct to grab your phone goes away.
Yeah.
If you're being engaged. If you're watching something and you're like, and you have any instinct or inclination to grab
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, you haven't, sorry. You haven't been engaged.
Coronavirus cough. Yeah. Charmed.
Right.
Yeah. And there are those shows where you're just like.
Well, and then it's one of those, after that particular episode, usually I'll look at the wife and be like, do you care? And she's like, no, I don't care.
I had to do that with a show, and it's a total dorky anime show, but I've realized that like I have a lot of time now, so there's a lot of stuff that I didn't necessarily want to get into. Yeah. I watched the first season of it, and it's called Castlevania on Netflix.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
And so they're short, but it like the seasons are basically just like a movie and broken up into like 4 episodes. So I was just like, all right, cool, I'm gonna watch this now. And I looked at Michelle and I was just like, do you care? She's like, nah. I'm like, all right, Saturday morning cartoons for me, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
it'll
been
work out. Yeah.
Where we've DVR'd a show and we've been watching it, and you could just tell both of us are, it's basically play with cell phone time for an hour.
Yeah.
And finally, like, I'll look at it and go, I think this show's run its course for us.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
we should just stop DVRing this.
Well, and sometimes even with movies, you'll throw a movie on and 20 minutes in, I'll look at her and be like, do you care? And she's no, I don't care. Let's shut this off. I don't care at all. I'm not engaged in any way, shape, or form or what's happening. What was the movie we just sat through? Us. We just watched the movie Us.
Is that
the Jordan Peele one? Oh, I thought that was really good.
It was amusing for a while, and then I realized I would just never get that hour and 30 minutes of my life back.
Ah, okay.
Really?
Yeah, different strokes.
Talk like this. Because you've been living.
Yeah.
We just watched a really good movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what
it was.
That
still
was.
Creepy. I liked it.
It had its.
Not as good as Get Out.
Get Out was really good.
Yeah, but I really like Us as well.
This Us almost, to me, almost became like a dark comedy for a minute.
Because
I was sort of amused by some of the stuff that was going on, and then I don't know.
Yeah. I feel you on that.
It wasn't awful.
That one's a super polarizing one, though, too. Like, people either love it or hate it.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're just on that side of it.
I think it was awful.
Glenn's on the hated
side.
I'll never
watch it again, but I wouldn't say it was crap. How's that? Does that make sense
That's
at all?
Fair.
It's kind of like high school. I'm never going back.
But
it wasn't awful.
Out of it.
But you're not triggered by it.
It wasn't awful, right. But I'm never going back, man.
No, we just watched. It wasn't like amazing. It's kind of maybe in that. It was better than like, I'll never watch it again. I probably would watch it if it was on, but not really pay attention. But it's Kevin Hart movie. I never even heard of it, called The Upside.
No. Yeah, I don't know anything
so
about
Kevin
that.
So Kevin Hart's typically all comedy shows. So I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And this was like his obvious attempt to try and like get cred as an actor. You know what I mean? Like,
how'd it go?
It was surprisingly good, based on a true story.
Right.
So you have me on there. It also has Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
I like Bryan Cranston.
Oh yeah, that was the movie where Bryan Cranston's the like quadriplegic,
yes.
Right? Yeah, okay.
And he needs a caretaker, and he's like kind of like a rich, like uber rich quadriplegic, got, I won't say how, but he got hurt. Now he doesn't, can't use his arms or his legs. And so they needed someone to take care of him. And so Kevin Hart just got out of jail and had a mandatory, had to find a job. So you know how, like, sometimes in order to get unemployment, you have to prove that you've been trying to find jobs. So he has to get signatures. Mm-hmm. So he went to the job application or to try and get the job as the caretaker, not wanting it. He just wanted the signature.
He got the job.
And he was kind of a dick. And Bryan Cranston's character appreciated that because everybody was kissing his ass because he's a rich guy. And he didn't want to be stuck with somebody that's just going to, like, placate him.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden he gets hired. And I'd say hilarity ensues, but there's not really like a ton of, there's a couple laugh out loud moments, but it's kind of a touching story of this guy that's not qualified to do this, but has a good heart and it went through some tough times. No one was willing to give him a chance. And then a guy who is in a bad situation trying to make the best of it and is almost getting a love for life again because he's with this guy that has. Is not your typical caretaker.
During the film, at any point in time, did you have to turn to Sid and ask what was going on?
No.
Okay, then that means, you know, that pretty much means he was engaging.
Yeah, that means engaging.
He was compelled to pay attention to this film.
And spoiler alert, I'll only say this because I see so many of these based on true stories that are like heartwarming stories. And I'm just like, all right, it's getting close to the end of the movie. I know I'm going to cry because the guy's going to die. You know what I mean? Like, that's just typical.
Does he check out?
No. Oh. Like, for once, the movie ends on a good note. So it's like... Typically, I stay away from these movies because I'm like, I don't want it to bum me out for the rest of the day because it's a heartwarming story that ends with the man dying of something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to die in Kevin Hart's arms, but Kevin's too small to hold him. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
Just holding his head.
Right.
Like, just stroking it.
But so, like, it ended, like, on a good note. And I'm like, well, that was very rewarding.
Thanks,
I enjoyed that movie. So, highly recommended.
Excellent.
Feel-good story that doesn't end with death.
Rating on Stevie Tomatoes?
I give it a solid 89%.
Ooh, oh, man.
Maybe even 90.
Wow. Oh, wow. He enjoyed the film.
Now, that being said, you have to be really, really bad to dip below 80% on my ratings.
There's a couple that have been.
Oh, yeah. Gotti.
Oh, you actually watched that?
Well, define watch.
Oh, I heard everyone just panic.
I saw it and I was
like, peace out.
I was like, man, I want to know this story. And Travolta, I think, is a great actor.
Yep.
And I would call it a failure of direction.
Yeah.
I just was like, what a mess.
Now and it's such a great story, a real life story.
I really wanted to know how and why, but like...
It's a joke,
for
man.
For somehow, I couldn't connect with it.
They should have made it a musical. It's that bad.
Better or worse than Cats?
I don't know.
I've never seen Cats.
Oh, okay. No, in the Travolta-verse, better or worse than Battlefield Earth?
Better by far than Battlefield Earth.
All right. Because I knew that you have watched that.
I watched Battlefield Earth.
Because you're a movie guy. So.
I believe I've seen that, and I think I'd rather watch that.
I might be a bit of a sadist, like, oh, God, they made a Scientology movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to expose myself to this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Glenn, what's it feel like when you put a clamp on your nipple and then start the car? It's like, well...
Battlefield Earth.
There's only one way to find out. You know, man? There's only one way to find out. So I buckled in and I watched me some Battlefield Earth and it hurt inside spiritually.
But Gotti is still...
Dude!
Gotti's better than Battlefield Earth.
It's bad though.
But it just... To me, I think half the reason it bummed me out is because I really wanted to see this story.
Yeah.
And I had heard they made a biopic and I'm like, man, I need to see this. And it just... I think it's a failure of direction. It falls flat. It just falls flat.
Failure of everything.
Yeah.
You know, the bummer part about the movie was, for me, it's like... It's not often that something that's based on true life events, I'm aware of the true life events. Like, I lived through that whole Gotti thing growing up in New York. Like, that was...
That's like down the street from you, dude.
Dude, it's like people in my neighborhood that are associated with the guy.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, dude, like, legit, like, I knew very well about his story. In addition, like, from just, like, this, like, you know, obsession because you knew someone that might be involved in it, and there's rumors in our neighborhood that this guy is, and that and other thing. But also just the newspapers were, he was, like, a celebrity. Like, they were always writing about John Gotti. So, like, you knew this guy was, like, this, he was like, a larger-than-life human being, a real-life crime boss existing amongst us while I'm alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, imagine being alive during, like, Bugsy Malone days or something. It was cool. So when they said they're going to make this movie, I'm like... Oh my gosh.
Can't wait to see this.
And I remember we rented it, and I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, this was a terrible idea.
Oh, I didn't rent it, man. It popped up on Prime, and I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot to.
Oh, see, you lucked out.
I had heard a Howard Stern interview a couple years ago where he was talking about getting to make this film, and he was excited about it. And I remember thinking, man, I think I'm going to want to see that.
And Travolta was perfect for the role.
See, the thing is, I don't think I can't blame any of it on. I thought Travolta did a really good job. I think it just was a failure of direction, man. It just didn't.
He was the lipstick on a pig.
It didn't hook up. It didn't connect. Even the way it was edited, the way the story was framed and told. See, it's this like, might actually, I'm not sure I care.
He was the polishing agent on that turd.
I found a little bit more information, and this might depress you even more.
Ugly.
I found out who the director was.
Was it John Gotti's brother?
No, Kevin Connolly, who played Eric on Entourage.
He needs to stop directing if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know if he's done any other work from this, but it might have killed it.
He probably shouldn't have done that.
He did a great 30 for 30 about the true life story of a guy that conned his way into owning the New York Islanders, the hockey team. Like, this is prior to the internet, so you couldn't really do a lot of fact research. He was able to scam people into thinking he had the money. Because he's like, the guy who did it, he's like, once I get the money, I can then run this organization. So he lied about certain, like, financials. I don't know the full story, so I'm probably, like, screwing up the full thing. But he lied about all his financials, facts, misinformation, convinced people that he was rich enough to purchase the team. Purchased the team, and he figured, now I could figure it out from here. I'll get it. I'll make it work. And they finally caught up to him, and it was just like it was part of like the collapse of that franchise for a very long time.
So his plan was to fake his way into getting the team, and then figuring
it
out wealthy,
fake it till you make
via
it.
His ownership.
Yes,
I just
right. Watch this documentary; it's so interesting.
Well,
you don't even have to like hockey.
What'd you do?
Or sports.
Oh man, I stole some Snickers. What'd you do? Grand Theft Auto. What'd you do? I bought a hockey team.
I scammed the entire league.
And we almost figured it out.
He got the team.
It's like the dude from the 50s. They made the really good movie, Tom Hanks and DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can. I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
That was a great movie. Yeah,
and play. I saw the musical.
Oh, really?
It's actually really good.
They're making a musical out of Gotti, dude.
You know what? I'll give it a chance.
Where's this going? Nowhere.
Just call it Gotti, damn it.
Ta-ta-ta.
So, all right, well, anyway, everyone should know that Rev is over there in black latex gloves.
That's right. Yeah.
Coronavirus. Corona.
I texted Steve last night and just said, hey man, are we on? Yeah, those are the sounds of Rev's gloves.
Yeah.
I'm all too familiar with that noise. No, I'm kidding.
But because as of last
I'm over
night,
40 now.
I'd heard in San Francisco they were pretty much
full on quarantine.
Yeah, and unless you have to, like, unless you're going to the store, or you know, it's your job to keep that building from falling over. Don't leave your house. Like it went there. I know L.A. County. I think went to the 50 person cap. If you guys want to rewind, my whole life imploded. When was it? When was Inslee's conference? Wednesday?
Yeah.
So Tuesday night around.
Well, if we're going to talk about it, we need our jingle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a jingle?
Oh, wait. Got to put it up on the board.
COVID-19. Oh, I swear. COVID-19.
It's up there. I plugged it in.
Well, this is just not being.
Is it volume going up? Did you press the red button?
Yeah, red button's up.
Volume's up.
Up.
Volume's up on your phone.
All right, let's try unplugging it.
Is it muted, dude?
Did you turn it off and on again?
Oh, wait, something's happening.
Come on. This is stupid.
No, dude.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it almost worked.
I think it's ready.
Oh, that's right. Here we go. Sounds of silence.
Mentally edit this out. Here's our jingle before we talk about it.
The virus that is crippled near and far.
Corona.
Tales of the 19.
We have to fight.
Steve and I saw each other
the
last
virus.
Week. Has this affected your life at all there, Rev?
Other than...
How you feeling, by the way?
Depressed? Oh, no, I'm fine. Actually, we're more stocked up than we've ever been with stuff, so, I mean, that's pretty cool.
The Burien Fred Meyer, I popped in there, and I'm not trying to be funny. I was going to buy us some TP while I was there, and that entire aisle was no TP, no paper towels.
We normally get the cheap TP. We get the Scott's One Ply because, to be perfectly honest, I have a bidet.
Oh,
you don't need a lot. You don't need a lot of TP. But you need a little bit of TP to dry off and do that. So we get the Scott's and went to the store, bought a whole bunch of stuff, and bought like 2-4 packs of Scott's because that was what was left. And I'm like, but I use it, so it works out. The cashier lady, she was just like, oh, is this all we got left? And I was like, yeah. Like, trying to play it off like I don't normally buy this stuff all of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part.
I'd have been like, actually, I always get this kind because I have a bidet at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh,
Bobby
man.
Bidet.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, the press conference happened Wednesday. Well, Inslee made the speech.
Well, Tuesday night, people started texting me saying, I think Inslee is going to announce a ban on public gatherings. At which point, I kid you not, I completely lost my mind. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I turned to my wife and I said, I have to get out of the house. I put on my shoes and I went for about a 2-hour walk.
Ooh. Power walk?
I would maybe power walking. Anger it walk. Was a lot of screaming and just effing.
You're just like walking down the street screaming?
Oh, yeah. I lost my effing
wow.
mind. I completely lost.
You got to
make 4 months.
I was about to say, think about all that work. I'm not to, make, your, not to make you mad. But
4 months of work. Yeah. Not to mention the $3,000 I had to borrow to pay for the merch that I still had yet to pick up. So I stopped at Safeway. I bought a pint of whiskey. I pounded the pint of whiskey. I end up in a church parking lot of all things.
Hot.
Just kind of losing my mind.
Yeah.
Really lost my ass completely. Badly. Like, not even kidding, not even trying to be cute. I completely lost my ass. Then I woke up the next day and I just had to start dealing with it. Because he made his announcement at 10:15 and it's like, okay. And so the emails, the phone calls. Now, what got interesting, because I figured it was going to follow suit, and it did, right? Yep. Like, everything's shut down now. But what got interesting was, first call, because it was the first show, was the Croc. Because I was already financially in trouble, so we were really counting on the Croc show, and all this corona scare was not, I don't know how my attendance would have been, but I was already really worried. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we hadn't even left town. I'm like, my God, we're going to run out of money, and all my credit cards are maxed. And so I called the Croc, and they were like, please, we're having a meeting. All the venues in Seattle are getting together at 3. Don't cancel. Let us see. Oh, okay. Because I was all like, let's just cancel. You know, because I had had my moment the night before. I've now made my peace. You know what I mean,
this
dude?
Is a thing. This is the reality.
Yeah, dude.
We
got to
push forward.
Yeah, I've wrapped my head around it. Now. I had my pop. Now I've wrapped my head around it.
And you're still dealing with the roller coaster of uncertainty.
I'm still dealing with fallout now. Like, I've got about 70 emails in my inbox, right? Of course, a lot of people are like, I've got 240, and that's their...
Yeah, but that's all from their OnlyFans.
Right. Yeah, dude.
You got to subscribe. You got to resubscribe.
Great. Be a cam girl.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone would watch.
You know what? You don't know until you try. All you is that one.
That's great. Man, I'd end up retiring. Like, dude, I pull 100K a month now, diddling my own on webcam.
I mean, look, guys probably want to see guys do stuff to themselves, too.
Yeah,
if you do it while playing a song, you can do, like, Ram Jam. Ram Jam.
Slam the lamb.
I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Black Betty.
So the short version of what happened with Croc was they literally asked me not to cancel.
Right.
And so they sent me this list of all this crap they had to do, but they were like, we're going to try and survive as a limited capacity venue because...
And that's the crazy part, because they say 250 or more is bad. So then, like, some people are like, okay, we'll cap it at 250. But then if you look at the fine print, it's more of a pain in the D under 250.
Yeah, actually,
that's what happened
point,
with the wrestling
I'll shoot
community.
You guys the email if you're curious. I mean, honestly, he sent me just the 10 primary bullet points.
Right.
But essentially it was like, if you're willing... We would really like to try and do business because, I mean, like we were talking about earlier in the show. Dude, bars, clubs, restaurants, theaters, you name it. Everyone's getting, like, this is going to cause a major recession. This is really bad. And there's people now that I know, a lot of people that are straight up out of work.
Yeah, I mean, there are restaurants that are just closing and, like, we'll never come back. We can't recover from this.
They're laying people off and...
I know the Ram just closed. I don't know if it's temporarily or permanently.
Oh, bro, even when these places reopen... It's like, who's going to have the money to go out to eat?
Yeah.
Like,
for a lot of those people, it's just completely screwed everything.
So, and they're going to be so backlogged on their bills.
Dude. So with this Croc show, man, I announced that we were doing it. Right away, Jeff Rouse couldn't do it. Then Will Kinky Trio hit me up, and they're like, dude, we're really scared if we come up there. They're going to quarantine the state, and they won't let us leave.
Yeah. Right.
Which is part of why we didn't want to go to California. We were talking, man, when I called the guys. I'm like, guys, what are we going to do? We have to
cancel. Yeah, no club's going to be like, hey, come out and see this band from Seattle.
Right.
Oh,
dude,
man.
Right.
Like, I was talking with Ryan the Beard, and he's just like, saying that you're from Seattle used to be like, oh, cool, because everyone still remembers
cool artsy town.
Like, wait,
what?
Yeah. And now it's like, it's literally, it's just like
Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like with BJ, because he's like, I'm thinking about going to see my wife in California. Worst comes to worst, if they won't let me come back, I'll go broadcast from one of our sister stations in California. And we're like, do you really think they're going to let you in the building? You're from Seattle.
I'm from Seattle.
Right. You're a 60-year-old man.
Sorry, that coughing was just from a bong hit. Don't worry. The coughing was just from the bong hit. Don't worry. Come on.
Right. There's no chance in hell they're going to let you in.
Yeah. None.
Zero. So he's not going.
Dude, here we all are. I kept booking acts and having acts cancel. I'm going to say I booked 4 to 8 different bands into the two slots that needed filled.
You never hit me up to do my children's music.
I was a stone's throw away from asking for Migs Presents
Poop
the Wiggles.
Yep.
The Tatum song.
I was down, dude.
Everybody knows.
Finally, morning of the show, I got our buddy Kyle Court. Love you, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, here's a 4-band bill, dude. And then I dropped $60 on boosting those.
Oh,
I made the posters that morning, and I spent $60 boosting those posts. We're on. Here's the bill. This is what's happening.
You're gonna do it, baby.
And an hour and a half before load in, the Croc sent me this email that was like, look, despite our best attempts to manage the situation,
no,
we cannot control the tailspin. F it.
It's not worth it.
So then I had to reverse. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking clear into that night. I had people texting me like, dude, are there still tickets available? And I'm like, stop. No, don't.
Well,
you can't imagine the S storm it caused, because I had promoted the hell out of the fact that we were going to go forward to try and help out the Crocodile.
Because
they were like, please go forward with the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now the whole rest of that day, I'm telling people like, no.
Well, dude, that's like really what happened to you is basically it's a reflection of, not to be deep, but a reflection of society. We all started with like, how bad's going to be? Maybe we need to be a little bit better. Oh, okay, maybe I should wash my hands. To then all of a sudden, like, you know, some people are like, you know what, I'm still going to go out and support the businesses. To, no, I can't do this because, God forbid, I get grandpa sick. You know what I mean? It's like...
That was a lot of the cancellations that I had was, we're a go, then 40 minutes later, dude, we hadn't thought about it. My drummer works at an Aegis Living. It's a senior care.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He can't
risk. You just can't do it.
And then it was, no problem, I totally understand, bing, bang, boom, next band. We're good. 20 minutes later. Dude.
Can't do it.
I'm so sorry. We just realized we're pretty sure so-and-so's girlfriend was exposed. Now, she's not sick yet, but she knows someone who was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Bing, bang. Dude, it was... Well, it was an S storm. Like,
just dude, it's
doing
bad.
It on like the small thing. It's like on Sunday, my buddy Scott and I, we went to a place in Tacoma called Dusty's Hideaway, which is where I had the great peanut butter jelly time drink. It was the screwball whiskey with strawberry puree.
I still got to get that screwball.
Dude, super good. That stuff is amazing.
Peanut butter flavored whiskey.
Yeah. It's great in your Irish coffees.
I hear it. Everyone has that initial look, and then when everyone tries it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard it's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's dangerous.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
And I love peanut butter.
Yep. So I went there. I had an Irish coffee with screwball whiskey in it, which was fantastic. But then we're like, okay, well, we're going to podcast. So we did some Grit City podcast afterwards, and it's like, you know, hey, go out to the bars and do all this stuff. And now I'm just like... 3 hours later was changed. When they shut everything down to 50 people.
Dude.
And so I'm just like, I'm still going to release it because we talked about some other stuff and some stuff in Tacoma that's pretty poignant. But at that same point, I have to do like a little header
disclaimer
at the beginning and be like, hey guys, due to the fact that everything is changing so quickly and that we're in just completely uncharted territory when it comes to all of this, don't listen to what we're saying. And even in the podcast, I say, don't listen to what we're saying.
We're just
idiots.
Doctors.
We're not doctors. We're not doing any of this. But just don't listen to us about that stuff. Like, get takeout or whatever you can, if you can at that point in time, because who knows where it's going to go. Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I
exactly.
saw what happened in San Francisco, like you mentioned, where it's like full quarantine.
That's why I texted last night, because I didn't know if
and
you
that's
guys
for three
were
weeks.
Like, bro, we're not, I didn't know.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we end up turning into that as well, where it's like the only time you can leave your house is for doctors or to get groceries, and they might even be limited with that.
I think, because aren't we one of the epicenters?
Yes. Or, absolutely. The West Coast. Like, if you think about it, just the West Coast, since we're
but we're
the
definitely,
gateway
we were
to
the
a lot
first,
of this stuff.
In America to where there's a death.
Dude, I left the state to go down to Texas to deal with family stuff on the Monday. Tuesday
so
and Wednesday,
look what happened.
Everything went nuts. And I'm like, I'm not telling anyone I came from Seattle. I'm
no.
just like,
I'm from
howdy, partner.
I'm Woo-hoo. From New Jersey.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not from anywhere on the Pacific.
Rev keeps
coast,
trying to say a
Northwest.
Boot and A. Are you from Seattle? No. Vancouver, eh?
No, not even Vancouver, dude.
Too
not
close?
Even Vancouver.
I'm from Alberta.
Yeah.
Calgary. Stampede, baby. Dude, it's so funny. Not funny, but someone put
right.
up and said, Kobe dies and look what happens to this whole world. And I'm like, oh,
well,
okay.
They said, he
he's
said,
the
yeah,
glue.
There's no NBA without Kobe. Proof.
Yeah.
It stopped.
Did you see who's that?
It's like, wow.
That idiotic pop star chick. She's
Which one?
Idiot.
Right. Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Oh.
There's a
Her
guy.
Cardi B song?
There's a guy. You know, I just saw a clip.
Corona.
It was that idiot talking about the coronavirus, but a guy plays random piano notes every time she talks. Have you guys seen this?
Because
she barely even speaks English. She should be taken into an alley and shot. Sorry, man. Like,
I still like looking at
this guy plays piano every time she babbles nonsense. Uh-huh. He just plays random piano stuff, and it made me laugh very hard.
Oh yeah, I was trying to find somebody remixed her song or her coronavirus.
Have you ever listened to any of her? She'll get on Twitter and just talk.
Yeah, she's
and
not.
That's the problem. I don't think she has anything. Actually, I know third graders that are sharper than she appears to be.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I just
coronavirus.
Sorry.
There's a lot of swear words there, man. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
Damn, there was like two there right there.
It's too bad because the video is so great. Because at one point. I think she's hot.
I've never really paid attention to what she looks like.
She looked good in Hustlers too. That movie that's terrible. Don't watch it. But
every time she talks, I want to peel my own skin.
I saw her
off.
Open up for Britney Spears. How weird is that?
That is a little off there.
So Britney was the highbrow portion of the show then.
Yeah, she brought the class.
I like Britney. I don't know what you're talking about.
I like Britney too.
Coronavirus.
That
S is real.
Is real.
Sorry, Drev.
It's fine.
Did not realize she
cursed.
It's
cool to be sitting here with you guys.
You know, that's a stupid statement. Yeah. I did not realize that Cardi B possibly would curse. I'm a moron, and I apologize. It's the coronavirus. The S is real.
One of my favorite lines from the morning show is just that Steve's been socially distancing his brain from his mouth.
Yeah, I've been saying a lot of dumb things.
It's so funny. Like, I don't like, most of the time, I don't like to dogpile on you. Fun to dogpile on BJ. Yeah. But when you said that, I'm just like, that's perfect. Like, that's just true. Encapsulates all of us right now.
What were you doing?
Everything.
Insane, dude.
Everything, man. Like, my brain is jumbled right now. I'm legit, like, bothered by all this coronavirus stuff. Because I'm a kid.
Here. Yeah.
And granted, my kids are going to be, kids are like the least, it seems like, you know.
But
my parents,
man.
My dad's liver is failing. He's on dialysis. He has to go to the hospital a lot right now because of a knee injury. Knee surgery he just had. He had his knee replaced. His kidney started failing him. Now he doesn't have any strength in his hands. And my mom and dad are going to the hospital all the time. And they're the ones like, be careful out there because of the coronavirus. I'm like, it's not me that needs to worry. You need to be careful of who you're around, mom and dad, because you're leaving your house way too much right now.
That's legit. So,
and I'm listening to
especially
this.
If they have anyone with compromised immune issues, apparently. Because, I mean, dude, a week ago, out of pure anger, I was just like, nope, this is stupid. Nope, this is stupid.
Of course, and
nope,
a lot of people felt that way.
And it was the day of our last show.
Yep.
I found myself drunk in a church parking lot going, really, God? Yeah. Really? Yeah. You send a plague? You send,
And it's this.
And then the next day I woke up and I'm like, okay, that sucked. Anyway, I got to get up. But, now.
I like that you went to the source to get answers.
I did, man.
You went to church.
Well, I just randomly ended up in a church parking lot. And this parking lot has, on this hill, like, there was a hill above the parking lot that has the three crosses.
Yeah.
And so I babbled at those for about 45 minutes.
Did you check the hours? Was God in the office?
He might not have been in the office.
Dear God, sorry to disturb you, but you ruined my concert tour.
Dude, there was someone that pulled out of an adjacent parking lot.
Yeah.
And they had their headlights on me, and I just stood and stared at them. Like, I just stared at him. Like you don't want to come ask me if I'm okay.
No, because I'm not.
What was funny is,
like, bitch, you better quarantine yourself in your car and
Tawny
leave me alone.
Was like, Tawny kept it. She told me because she understood that basically it was just the popping point because
it's been an uphill battle this tour.
Yeah, it's been an uphill battle the whole way. And so now this happens. Okay, but, and now I can, by the next day I was at peace with it. Like, but I popped bad. And Tawny was just like, man.
You went to go talk to God.
When I realized where I was, I was like, okay then, let's do this.
Yeah.
Just roll up those sleeves.
Tawny was waiting for a cop to just bring me home and be like, we found him walking up the street screaming. He's hammered drunk. He said this is his address. Like, she was waiting for the cops to bring me home. And then they didn't. But I mean, I was definitely publicly intoxicated, and I wasn't always quiet.
Drunk and disorderly, sir.
Yeah, dude.
For
real, man.
Aspect of
but
it.
I get it, dude. I get it. It was devastating.
It was just a giant what the F. Like, you've got. It'd be one thing. It's like, dude, I broke my
wrist.
Dude,
I'm seeing some of my buddies, like, they have like X amount of big independent wrestling shows that they had to pay a lot of money out of their pockets for flights and to pay for these talent. And a lot of the money they could get back, but some of it they can't. And they were like, you know, basically surviving. One event would fund the next event or maybe the next two events.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, we're canceled until this is figured out because we just can't take the chance.
Dude.
There's one that puts on a big conference in wherever WrestleMania is held. So it's in Tampa right now or is supposed to. And now, you know, obviously it's all falling apart. They're like, they're in the hole for over $115,000 with the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
They're hoping the hotel will, once Tampa makes it a state of like, hey, nothing, everything needs to shut down, they assume they'll be able to like be have that waived. But there's no guarantee. And they're like, we might be on the hook for $115,000.
Yeah, man.
No.
I know, that can't happen. It's just
awful.
Like,
we're
you can't
killing
do
everyone.
That.
I've heard.
Well, I mean,
and
I don't know.
And it sucks to see like a lot of good people, independent wrestlers, that decide, you know what, I'm done working full time. Like, no different than musicians.
They took
the leap. I'm taking the leap, and it's going to be a struggle, but I'm going to live check to check until I can hopefully see where this goes. And they're like, can you please buy our shirts? Because right now, we can't even afford.
Yep.
I can't afford. I have to go back to getting a day to day job.
Yep.
And life.
Anything entertainment based. Is, man, like I was talking to Brett, you know, because I called Brett. I'm like, dude, I called him Wednesday morning just to fill him in. Like, yeah, man, I just got done canceling. You know, it was weird. And it blew Tawny's mind, too. So that took me over 4 months of anywhere from an hour to 4 hours a day to build all that. Took me about 40 minutes to tear it down.
Yeah.
And that kind of blew my mind, man. Like I typed up a summary message and I just started hitting all the bands, all the promoters and all the venues. And I'm like, wow, that only took about 40 minutes to tear down.
Yeah.
Took like 4+ months.
Takes months to get in shape. Takes a couple cheeseburgers to
that's
make
right,
it fall
man.
Apart.
And
I love
Snickers.
Those cheeseburgers, man.
Dude, all I wanted is cheesecake. And when I get bummed, all I wanted was eat. And I've been really just craving a cheesecake.
I've been destroying
Tawny mangoes. Makes an amazing cheesecake.
Where is it?
Tawny. Come on, man.
We need a coronavirus cheesecake.
I could bring in cheesecake at some point. She would do that. She makes like a graham cracker crust.
I'll be honest. I might swing by Wendy's. It's not a cheesecake, but I'm going to get a Frosty.
You're going to shame me?
Yeah, dude. I'm that guy. I want to eat. That's all I want to do is eat. Like, this is bumming me out.
Dude, if you do what I did, because basically what I did was I got cardio mixed in with my fun. Yeah, that's fun. Mix it. So, dude, basically, I drank off the calories I imbibed.
Boom.
So, what you got to do is, if you're gonna wig out, do it the way I do, man.
Get drunk and go to church.
You want to get drunk and walk? You
to
know,
church
to church.
This is awesome.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do.
I'll have to send you guys. Like, it's weird because I knew.
Yeah,
that.
Did you check your steps?
You should. From now on, babe, I'm out. Steps. Can I borrow your Fitbit? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I know. Oh, supposedly, man. There's a 97 empty, hollow, lifeless calories in every shot of whiskey. And how many shots are in a pint? I only drank a pint.
I have no idea.
Okay, a pint is, like a pint glass?
No, a pint of whiskey.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's probably the same amount of liquid in a pint glass.
Like, I wasn't hammered, but it made the...
You weren't hammered by that?
Dude, that's like at least... That's got to be at least 10 shots,
probably,
wouldn't you think?
Between 8 and 10 shots.
Yeah.
I wasn't hammered. I wasn't in any pain.
How many shots in a pint?
My man.
About 10.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, one U.S. liquid pint.
How do I know that?
So it's
how do you know that?
It's 10.6667 jiggers.
Ah.
A what?
A jigger.
That's if you hit 80-something miles per hour.
That's 1.21 gigawatts.
The jigger watts will get you into the past.
I love how I look it up, and then it gives me answers to not... Okay, the drink. There we go.
Does it have a picture of me walking down the street?
A jigger is a shot glass.
Screaming at the sky?
No, a jigger is a shot glass.
I've never heard that term.
I've heard of it before.
I never heard it either.
Yeah.
But you know what's a weird thing? Not that it's like a good, ha-ha, funny thing, but an interesting thing. So like, if you kept up on my world with the wrestling stuff, I backed out of Battlemania because I just wasn't... I didn't approve of how certain things were handled with...
I mean,
long story short, there was a sexual assault... allegations.
Update us on that. What's
and
going on
so,
with
like,
dude?
How it was all handled. Good people. I'm not talking about the sexual assault part. The people that were running the company are good people, really good people. But they, in my opinion, did not handle what happened to how I would have done it and how many people. So it was just an S storm, and I wasn't really happy with how things were going. And I was just like, I'm just done. Then there was a group of people that tried to save it, and I was like, okay. They asked me if I'd help out because they knew I had a very strong moral compass when certain things. And I've experienced 20 years of being in the public's eye and know how to, like, for the most part, handle myself when when there's something that happens and how to handle it in front of a large group of people. And I felt like they didn't handle it that well. And it's a mistake, and that happens. And I'm not mad at the guys that screwed up in my eyes. But I'm still not. I still couldn't be associated with it. It was just like I'm just morally opposed to how this went down. Mm-hmm. So I backed out. But I was like, part of me struggling with not backing out was, I know a lot of people bought tickets to go see me wrestle Orange Cassidy at the Showbox. So now I'm in this dilemma, and also I'm getting to wrestle a big name in the world of wrestling. Yeah. So it's like, do I follow the selfish side of me, or do I follow the moral side? And it honestly was a struggle. Like, I mean, I knew what I had to do was the right thing, but I also, there was this constant little voice in my head, like, people paid good money.
I wouldn't call it selfish, man. I would say if you were to go through with the match, you're doing it.
I had the right reasons.
Well, because those people paid money to see you do it, bro.
But it was like,
so no matter what, you're doing the honorable thing. So I hope that occurred to you
along the way. I know, but I also felt like people would just be like, oh, you're saying that, but you just wanted to wrestle Orange Cassidy, which I did. I ain't going to lie. Like, I was like, why couldn't this have happened after the damn Adelmania? In selfish Steve mode. But I knew morally, I'm like, no, I just have to be done with this. And it's going to suck. But you know what? In the end of the day, I'm not looking to make a career out of this. Yeah, I lose a fun life story. But there's certain things in life that are more important than having this cool match. So in my head, I've already accepted somebody's very upset about them forking over cash to go see Orange Cassidy and me. I'm not going to make it public, but I will refund them. And my wife was like, really? That could be a lot of money. I'm like, I know.
Oh, for once, Sid's paying attention to what's going on.
Right.
I'm like, doesn't look up and say, wait, what's happening?
I'm like, go play on your phone. Why are you listening to me?
I'm sorry.
Play on your phone. But I'm like, what's, it's going to be, it could be several hundred dollars. It could be a lot. And I know that sucks, but I just don't feel right telling people to come see me wrestle. I back out for good reasons, for very good reasons. But if someone's genuinely upset about
public?
That.
Have you been public about the reason why you're backing out?
Yeah, I said, well, a little bit. I said,
to the degree you're comfortable.
I said that I'm morally opposed to how things were handled. If you really want to know, you could just go to their social media page. There's been plenty of posts about what was going on. You can, if you do a little work, and by work I mean maybe a minute's worth of scrolling, you will find the answers to all the questions that
you want.
Or at least enough that we can
share.
But
the information's out there.
It's out there.
There's no illusions as to why you'd be stepping down.
It was a giant ass storm.
Okay.
Like, it was just, I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And it's like, you know, because then there's like a lot of conflicted, more like layers of hurt, because you're like, I hope this isn't true. I hate to be the person that's just going to dismiss it because, you know, that's someone I know. On the flip side, like, there's just like, there's some people out there that will falsely say it. And then there's also, it's not fair to assume that it's falsely said because there are people out there that are afraid to speak up because
those situations are so convoluted.
There's no winning.
It's a mess. It's terrible.
So it's like, there's so much to unpack, like, emotionally with this, and now having to make this decision. It was a dude, I didn't sleep very well. I was happy that BJ took that. He was off because of he was sick at that time. So, like, I literally was sick to my stomach and never sleeping because I was just so torn up about this. But in a weird way, thank you, coronavirus, because it forced the Showbox to shut down the show.
Oh, so it got you off the hook for having to...
Anyone who bought tickets, because I bought tickets because I know a couple of my buddies will be last minute, like, bro, can I get tickets? And it'll be sold out.
I already
got the money refunded.
I did not know that Showbox was shut down that far out.
I guess...
Because that was, what, April 17th?
April 17th. I don't know if they're shutting out other shows or they just knew that there was... Because the show was in limbo with the allegations that were going on.
Oh, I see.
So
yeah,
there was
a chance
that it wasn't going to happen anyway. And maybe the Showbox was like, let's just avoid and kill it. And I got my email saying your tickets are being refunded. And dude, that was like amazing.
Huge. Yeah.
My wallet was like, thank you. Because I was just like, oh my gosh.
Plus, now you don't have to explain to your wife.
I know, right?
Like, honey, I got to kick out $500. You're doing what?
She's already like, you're still, because I'm dropping a bunch of money and getting new gear made. I have a new theme song being made. I like all these things. I was investing royally into this moment because I'm like, there's not many other chances I'm going to get to wrestle at the Showbox against Orange
Cassidy. What club was that?
That was 3-2-1 Battle.
3-2-1 Battle, they gone?
Barring, and there's hope that maybe one day someone can repurpose it, if that makes sense. Like,
sure.
I think the brand is too this isn't the first time that...
So the brand has been damaged.
It's had something that's damaged it that's been very similar in the past before my time.
Man, I'm really sorry, Steve.
Oh, dude, it's devastating.
Because 3-2-1 battle's been a big part of your life now for a couple years.
Every other Friday.
Huge part of your life.
And I mean, we talked to a bunch of us that...
Dude, seriously, man, I'm sorry, man.
Oh, dude, it's honestly, like, I don't even want to, like, go too knee deep because I'd probably start crying about it because, like, that was my place where I went.
We can go for a walk and buy some whiskey.
Can we? And can we just go to Evolve Fitness and get drunk and yell outside of it?
Yeah.
I know you're not here, God, but like that was my place of home for every other Friday.
Yeah, I know,
and
dude.
You know, throughout all, like I mentioned to some of the people, I'm like, through my fertility issues with my wife, like those hardships, I had something to look forward to at least twice a week.
Yeah, dude.
That could get my mind off of this. And then I just finally, like, for a couple of years, I've been trying my hardest to become an active roster member and have a prominent role. And I just started having like that, you know, I turned the corner. Like my heel work has really gotten me to the point where I was voted the most popular heel, if that makes sense. I'm the most popular bad guy, the most popular person to hate. For after only 3 months of being a bad guy, I was the most popular person for the whole year.
Dude, you poured yourself
so
into
it.
So
I really, dude. And I have good stuff coming up. I've had some, like, there was like a good run happening. So it was just like, I finally found like my sweet spot and it's all gone. And, you know,
I'm really sorry.
And
man.
I'm not good at like self promoting. Like, so I now have to find a way to get, like, I had a place that I knew for sure twice a month I was booked. So maybe I'd get like a whack booking for frequently. That's once a month ish. And then if I got lucky, another place would consider me. But, like, I'm not good at, like, hey, book me. I'm the worst at rejection. So I now have to, though, swallow my pride if I want to keep wrestling because I don't have anything except for WAC, thankfully,
and
Everett.
I would think, honestly, though, any of these indie wrestling circuits, and I don't know how much there is out there. That's really outside of my sphere, man. But you send them your promo drops and stuff.
I feel like that, too. I just suck
at
it.
I mean, dude,
I feel this is who I am.
This is what I bring to the table, man. Like, and I think we're a lot like, I hate to ask.
Yep.
I know.
I like being asked.
I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. I hate asking.
Yep.
And it's like, if you just let me in the door, I'll do what I do really well.
Exactly.
But I don't have that thing that, you know.
I'm just thinking, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I could be a cool singer. Maybe if I'm singing in my car really loud, the guy sitting next to me at the stoplight will be like, hey, you're pretty cool at that. You want to join our band?
Well, for me, it's like I'm still super insecure about my wrestling abilities. I try really hard and I do everything I can to be as good as I can. I know I never put anyone in a place where they're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So that's important. But, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to put on a 5-star match. And I'm aware of that because I'm just still green. I'm still new to the world
of
wrestling.
You bring a lot to the table.
But I need to, like, be better at saying, hey, look, I'm not going to give a bad match. I might not give you, but like what I bring is way more than just the match. Like I bring a promo that gets more exposure for your product. I bring a bigger fan base, you know, thankfully because of what I do for a living, people will come out to see what I do in the ring. So there's things I can bring to the table. I'm just, I can't get past like the whole, I'm not as good as most of these other wrestlers that are probably on this bill. And even though I definitely sell more tickets than the wrestlers I look at a higher level. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be egotistical.
But I think you've gotten
a lot
of respect
for a reason,
I mean,
it.
From some of the stories you've shared even here on the show, you've garnered the respect of some remarkably talented wrestlers.
I have, yeah.
So I think, man, I mean, I get it. Honestly, I'm just kind of, I'm heartbroken that this is going down in your world.
Plus,
that was such a big part of your world.
Because that was a room that was always like 200 people were there at least, or, you know, within 150 to 300 people would be at the venue where we did 3-2-1 battle, and they were drunk and they would just they went along for the ride. You know what? They were part
they
of
were
the show.
All in, always.
When you're a bad guy, they will boo you just unmercifully. You know what I mean? Like, they were just like, it was great. It was so exhilarating. You don't get that everywhere. Like, luckily, like, you know, I did one in Everett with Without a Cause, and their crowd is great too. But I've done some where it's like, I perform in front of like 50 people, and you're doing everything that you know works, and it's not working. Like, it's like, why are you guys even here?
It's like a corporate event.
Are you right? Like, are you even happy that you came? Like, why did you pay? You're just sitting on your hands. Like, this is no fun. You know what I mean? Like, there's those nights, and you're just like, knowing that we've lost a rabid fan base. That's why I hope somebody can clean it up, fix it up, and turn it into something again. Because I think we're, I mean, there's a good number of people that, not just the wrestlers, but like
a lot
the fans.
Of people just lost something.
They lost
a lot
something
of
cool.
Just lost something,
they're their happy place, like their place where they can let their freak flag fly. You know what I mean? Like you could just be whoever you want and nobody's going to judge you. It was a really special place. And it sucks that it fell apart for the reasons that it fell apart, because what happened is you created then a place where some people don't feel safe if the allegations are true. And that's awful.
Well, and even then, you can't support something that supports.
No. It's that whole guilt by association thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Man. Like, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
That's all good.
But I'm really sorry all that went down that way, dude. I know it was weighing on you last week when we talked briefly about it. And, of course, I was kind of waiting to see what the outcome was. Yeah. But in the meantime, you know. A biblical plague emerged.
Right, I was going to say, you're going through your hell, literally.
Right.
That's why I said,
but
like,
it's been on my mind, like, I'm glad you brought it up, but by the same token,
I hear you.
Thanks for sharing with everyone,
and
obviously.
And it's like, with all of
I'm
us.
I'm sorry you had to...
Thanks, man.
Like with everything, like, we all have our own things going on in these little tidal waves that are also just being, just overshadowed by this gigantic worldwide tidal wave.
I know.
Everybody has all of these different things going on. And so I found myself trying to, like, kind of just pull back a little bit, because some of my friends I want to just snap at because they're complaining that they're bored.
Yeah,
and
I just want to send them access to my inbox. You're bored? Start replying to these people and explaining what happened.
Just do something. Just do anything. Don't complain on social media about being bored, please.
I should be like, yo, go hit up all the local wrestling promotions and demand me to be a part of them. Be my manager. If you're bored.
I can't get out of my mind is I have several, you know, people that I consider really good friends that own businesses. That are currently closed. Like my buddy BJ that owns Dottie's Double Wide over in White Center, which is a really amazingly cool place. And I'm worried that three, 4 months, it'll be like Dottie's is done.
I got my friends down at the church cantina.
Like what?
And it's like, I'm like, I've watched you build that in the last couple of years, and it's been fantastic. It's a great place.
But can it withstand,
I hope,
3 months of not having, you know, we don't know if it's going to be just 3 weeks or 3 months.
You guys look at like Canlis, which is, if you're not familiar with Canlis, it overlooks Lake Union and Gasworks Park.
It's a very jacket.
It's one of these places. You go to Canlis and you drop, you know, $400 to $600 on a dinner kind of place, if not more, right?
Yeah, yeah.
While wearing a sports coat.
Yeah,
you have to wear one.
Right. Like they'll find you a jacket, sir.
Hence, I've never been there.
I've only been there to set up audio equipment.
That's more time in there than me.
Yeah, you got in the door,
I've
buddy.
I've been in there a bunch. I've been in there enough to daydream about making it my home, because that would be rad. But I always do. I'm always like, God, I could live the S out of this place. But they have started a thing where the restaurant obviously is closed, and they set up like a... They put all these cones out in the parking lot, and it's like a drive-through pickup food.
Yeah.
So just to try and, oh my God, what are we going to do? That's what Canlis is doing.
Yeah. Do you have to wear a sport coat to go through the line?
Right. The guy pulled through and they're like,
car first.
Like, sir, you got to coat up. But no, I think they're doing like burgers and fries, literally.
Okay,
it's
dirt
cheap.
Well, I think the guy who runs it originally worked at like Shake Shack. If I remember correctly, I read some story where, like, when he was a young kid, he got his first start in the restaurant industry working at a fast food place.
See?
So it's kind of funny that
he's
all
back
coming
to
back
his
full
roots,
circle.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
But, you know, they say, okay, so pickups and deliveries and stuff, but, like, Slim's Last Chance, I don't think they're set up for Uber Eats or whatever.
Yeah.
And even then, how is that going to pay? I don't know. I can't imagine what the lease is like on some of these properties.
I saw, like, Doofers in Renton, which is a great place. Like, they had to first cancel their burger of the March Burger Madness that they do, which is, like, they always go insane with the burgers. Every day is a new burger, and it's, like, ridiculous. It's, like, it's amazing. But they're like, yeah, we have delivery if you really need it, but please, if you wanted the food, just come pick it up. We only have one delivery driver.
Yeah, I mean,
but they're just trying to figure out ways to survive just to break even so they don't have to like shut down shop forever.
Have you guys heard anything about any potential financial disaster relief? Because as far as
is
going to do to the American economy,
people wanting it to happen.
I mean, I heard in Italy
I
now.
I heard some interest rates might be waived a little bit.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard in Italy the banking system of that nation literally said, it's all forgiven this month. Just forget it. Don't worry about your mortgages, et cetera.
Like, and I've heard some of the things
like this month's on us. That ain't going to happen in the States.
I heard here like there's certain people like if like you're not going to get evicted, but that doesn't mean you don't owe this money back. Yeah. So
Tawny told me something. It was one of the utilities. It wasn't Seattle City Light. It might have been. It was one of the other
PSE.
Ones. It might have been PSE said, hey, look, don't sweat it right now.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I don't know which one, but I've seen those posts because it's a South Sound thing as well. So I know that it's been going around through like my local Facebook.
It just sucks because I was saying, like, how much would it like alleviate stress if you're like, mortgage is on hold, rent is on hold until this gets squared away.
They just need to shut down everything, and they just won't.
Right.
Well, if they're telling people not to go to work, and then they're shutting, that's the thing, when they're like, for public safety, we're closing all the restaurants. How many people did you just render jobless?
Yep.
It's weird to me that that's not being discussed. I mean, I get the situation, and I get, like, we got to stop the spread because we got to try. I get all that. We don't have to debate that. I'm just saying, like, when you make a decision like, look, here's what we're doing. Are these people cognizant of the people they're rendering unemployed? You know, like, is that
the part? And think about like people in the service industry. For the most part, I mean, some maybe are like working at Canlis and they're making bank. But for the most part, a lot of people working in the service industry, are living check to check.
Mm-hmm.
So one missed paycheck is going to potentially make them homeless.
I live check to check.
Right. Right.
And I just went back to work at Live Oak AV, actually. And they, just in time for, and it's funny. It's like, Dave, I'm not going to be going on tour. He's like, yeah, we had 30 events canceled this week.
Yeah.
Like it's
awful,
dude. It's really bad.
It's a bummer to see like all our musician buddies. I mean, and on the, like the least important level, but still important. Cause I think art is important to be able to be expressed. So many people who really find a great joy and it's therapeutic to either go see live music or perform live music can't.
Oh, dude, mm-hmm.
And for me, like therapeutically, I love to wrestle. Like I love the feeling of being in front of a crowd.
Dude, to me, that's entertainment based.
And I don't
You're an entertainer. We're all entertainers. Anything in the realm of entertainment, whether you're a stand-up comic, wrestler, musician, what performance art,
fire breather.
Care. Yeah, exactly. Ooh, yeah. Exactly. Everybody's effed. If you're any kind of an,
you lost your outlet.
You're done.
I know. A lot of bands are trying to do at least a little bit of an online
streaming
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I paid into Abney Park, the steampunk band that I love.
They're doing
a live concert.
You're streaming.
Yeah, they're streaming a concert on the 4th, and they just put up an Indiegogo, and it's doing fairly well because it's a global thing. But at the same point, the lead singer put out like the numbers, and it doesn't even cut into that. At all. It's like, we've lost this amount. Yep. We're hoping to get a thing. And I mean, it looks like a lot of that's going to be maybe, I don't want to say the new norm, but maybe a possibility. Maybe this is going to push technology
A lot of people like, and honestly, we're talking about, Louis has access to a guy that owns a recording studio that also has a full camera set up and this whole thing up north. And immediately we were talking about, actually, the day of the Croc show, because Louis was like, here's what we can do. And I was like, please tell me you don't mean today. Because I was so...
I got an appointment with God at the church.
I was rolling with it.
BYOB.
It was like watching Rocky 1, except there is no happy ending. Like, I was just getting
pummeled. Yeah.
Just hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. And right in the middle of that, Louis was like, dude, here's what we're going to do. And I was like, please tell me you don't mean today.
Not today. Not today.
Not today.
But I think we're going to maybe set something up.
Sorry.
No. What was it?
Oh, just getting something ready for that next segment. Okay. No, sorry.
At some point we might try and do that.
That'd be awesome.
I just heard, they poop the pants. What was it?
It's the Poop the Pants song.
Oh, see, Steve will live stream that
dance,
and raise like
dance. We pooped our pants.
We'll have Steve do this live at our live stream.
I would.
Our pants. Poop.
Yeah, if we end up doing it, we'll announce. It's,
and I'll have my wife doing the percussion, which
I'm,
is the
I'm
dishes
cool.
behind
it's,
me.
I'm cool ish.
Yeah.
On the I owe some pretty sizable amounts of money. But luckily, they're to really good people that are being extraordinarily patient.
No Gaudis.
No
Gaudis.
And even then, the film's so bad, they wouldn't be able to follow the fact that I made him money anyway.
Hey.
I owed him money. Yeah. But if we do it, I don't know if we're going to do it just to try and entertain folks or if we'll put up a thing like, by the way, we have an exorbitant amount of merchandise, which you can now access.
Please buy.
Right. And you know what was cool, though? I saw the minute we announced the tour cancellation and then my subsequent announcements, I saw some sales pop through on our website.
That's nice.
People want to help.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. They did, bro. People straight up got online and started buying, like, buying shirts and stuff like
I
that.
Was, I bought a couple of shirts from some of my wrestler buddies just because I'm like, I know this $7 is not going to make a game changer.
But it's the thought, dude.
Yeah.
The thought's pretty cool,
it's
man.
It's just like, I know that they'll also, like, you know, whenever someone's bought shirts from that pro wrestling tee shop for me, I do get that email that shows who bought it. So, you know, it's nice that when I got a message from a couple, I'm like, dude, thanks, man. Like, I know you didn't, like, times are tough
the,
for all of
the
us.
The only
but
show
like,
that didn't cancel, we went down to Heavy Metal Brewing.
That's right. I saw you like playing guitar in a bar.
Yeah, I was up
I thought it was just an old picture.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was
Saturday.
That was
funny.
Saturday
okay.
night, dude. So it's a small little place, but believe it or not, it was kind of packed. And now by the time we played last. There was a band called Beautiful Skeletons. It was their first show ever. They were really cool. Aww. Yeah, their first show ever, and God Sends a Plague, right?
Yep, first and last.
Then
damn.
Oh, man, right?
You were so bad. Then God canceled all concerts.
Our boys in Custom played a set, and then we played a set. And yeah, man. And I honestly, when I got there, it's been a really challenging week. When I got there, and I was trying to unpack our merch, and I ended up having, like, not a full-blown anxiety attack, but I was really... battling it. My hands were trembling. Mm-hmm. I was kind of losing my S, and it was cool, but I was kind of getting mobbed. But we sold a bunch of merch that night. We made pretty good money and then went on to have a hell of a show. And the promoter that brought us down there, AJ Von Wolf from Von Wolf, AJ bought me a fifth of Jack Daniels because I was like, dude, look, I'm battling really bad anxiety right now. I'm like, where's the nearest liquor store? He's like, the trunk of my car. So we go out.
That's awesome.
Dude, yeah, man, straight up.
That's what a man with the last name Van Wolf can pull.
Right?
Oh,
totally.
He handed me a fifth of Jack Daniels, and then he had a little package of those little white cups. He's like, this way you don't even have to share the bottle. And I'm like, my man.
Look at him, looking out for your best health.
But dude, like, you know, Justin, our boy Justin, came down.
We just had on last week.
Yeah, man. Justin and Marcy came down. Chris Walk and Wilcox came down with us. And so there was just this great... It's like everyone there knew that things were effed. But everyone was there and having a good... And that's what that post was all about.
Yeah.
Like, man, everyone was there.
I put a smile on my face.
Yeah, we laughed, we smiled, and we all kind of forgot for a little while how messed up things were. And we had a lot of fun.
That's what art's supposed to do.
I was on the mic just riffing about... everything, you know, like they said it was borderline half comedy show, half rock show.
Did you share your conversation with God up there?
You know, about 5 days ago, I was having this discussion with the man himself.
And you wouldn't believe.
No, dude, then I started riffing
it's
about
a new
the
podcast,
fact I was
musicians
like,
in church parking lots with Jesus.
Like, dude, I showed up wigging out and there was no whiskey and the owner brought me this glass of this weird chocolate beer.
Yoo-hoo?
It was like a Guinness.
Oh, like a chocolate stout. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good.
Man. Honestly, I saw God when I drank that stuff.
Nice.
I think I had about
like
four glasses of that. Yeah, dude, it was so good.
Yeah.
Like that might become a thing for
me. Yeah, chocolate stouts are really good.
It was amazing, man. But yeah, that was Saturday night. That was in, you know, it was funny. I signed a couple different things and I'd sign at the COVID-19 tour.
I saw that.
One show, one and done.
Yeah, dude,
it's
one
the world
and done.
Tour.
But yeah, and then. Right after that is when they announced the even further restrictions. And so I saw one of the cats from Custom posted, like, it's weird to think that we may have played one of the last events on the West Coast for a while, you know. But, yeah, that was my Saturday night, man, you know. But I guess the point being there was a vibe in the room of, well, this is really effed up. Everything's really effed up and all a bit tragic. But a lot of people bought a ton. I did really good in merch sales that night. You know, a couple $100, more than I expected. And everyone was just super supportive.
It was cool.
A really cool, supportive thing. And we had a blast down there at Heavy Metal Brewing in Vancouver, Washington.
Dude, a few of us were trying to think of, like, you know, I don't think it's going to happen now. Maybe they'll be up for it, but I think I'm going to just stay home this weekend, obviously. But, like, a few of us are bumming about not having anywhere to wrestle. And one of our buddies, Chase, he lives in Spokane. He has a ring in, like, his little warehouse. And he's like, well, you guys want to come
stream a match.
Crash in my... And it was like, at that point last week, there was like about 10 of us that were totally down to go drive to Spokane, spend the night, have matches, and then just like drink and be merry and have a good time with the boys, but and record it or stream it live and just be like, we're like, this would be kind of fun, like the, you know, the warehouse matches that no one's here for.
You guys
the
get some of them match. Wrestle in some of those bio suits. Like my friend, my buddy Josh.
If I could dress in an astronaut suit, I'll do it.
I see if I can find the video, but Josh and Benito, they went out on the town somewhere last night, but they went out and full chem suits.
Oh, that probably made people feel very non-unnerved.
She put up a video, and she was dancing in some empty bar. There was music playing. The bar was empty. And Benita was in a, I thought it was pretty goddamn funny, man.
That's hilarious. Dude.
See, and I mean,
I did. Like, she's like, I hope this doesn't offend anyone. We were just trying to have a good time. And I was like, you know?
They probably offended someone.
I'm not offended, but I thought it was pretty goddamn funny. Yeah. Dude, someone gave me grief about my video of me walling myself in behind toilet paper.
That was cute.
Who gave you grief about that? Don't have to tell me who.
I won't tell you the name.
But like, why?
But she was like, oh, so now we're just openly making fun of people? What is this even about?
And it said, oh, okay.
It said hashtag not cool. And I went, and I started to reply like, are you insane? Do you even know me? Do you have any idea what I've been through in the last 72 hours? I've literally made videos talking about how worried I am about venues and my friends and how badly everything from hotels to, and I was like, wait a minute. You can just delete and block this person and not even have to explain yourself.
There you go.
And that's what I did.
I've been loving.
I've unfollowed so many people.
So much.
Dude, I was just
unfollow.
Like, yeah.
I'll check like the friends. Like if they post something like abnormally stupid, I'll check and see what our mutuals are. And if it's only a very few amount of people
from either
my industry or whatever, I'm like, I don't even know you. Or like on Twitter, a lot of muting. Like just those things getting into chat, cat groups like on Facebook, so I just fill up my feed full of cats. Like my Facebook feed is fantastic right now because it's all just a bunch of fat cats, and that's about it. That's really about it at this point. So because it's
I do find comfort in knowing I'm not the only one that had to. It was only one person that I had to, and I was honestly I had typed it out. I'd thumbed out the beginnings of a response.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was like
there's no winning.
If you had any idea what I've been through in the past 72 hours, and I'm not going boohoo poor me. I'm genuinely worried about my friends that own bars. I was getting ready to go play a show at a club that begged me to play despite the mm-hmm. Are you out of your god? And I was like, wait a minute. Remember your own rules, Glenn. Rule one, you can't argue with stupid.
Yep.
Rule two, never get into a debate on Facebook because that's like even stupider than arguing
rule
with
three,
stupid.
Rule three, never participate in a land war on Asia. It's one of the classic
delete,
follies.
Block, unfollow.
Dude, I have unfollowed more people because of this than like political conversations.
Yeah.
Like, even
it's
those,
just
like
that
1-2
punch of it, man.
It is all
like,
yeah, you're
politics
right.
And that like at the same time because of all the.
I'm just getting sick of the people that keep sharing the same meme that people were sharing a month ago. That's like, you know, the flu has killed more people and we weren't freaking out about this. Or what about the swine flu? It's like, dude, these are so regurgitated lines from people that were not informed, like all of us, a month ago. How about you listen to maybe like an interview with somebody that's in the know or read a reputable article about what's going on? Like,
Just realize that we're still in it right now.
Right.
We don't have the information because it's still happening.
People aren't make-believe dying right now.
Just hold your horses.
Just kidding.
Right. Oh, it's all a scam.
I'm not dead yet.
I love that. It's just a
scam. I'm just a bunch of movie quotes today.
It's
don't
like,
worry
dude, stop regurgitating what you heard somebody, maybe your favorite political leader has said, who has since now gone back and now says, yes, this is a problem. It is an effing pandemic.
Yeah. Like
that, you don't call things that are fake a pandemic. You can blame the media all you want.
Look,
and maybe the media got a little too crazy at one point, but you know what?
I just want to throw out there that I don't usually get drunk, wander around, and talk to the sky.
Exactly.
If I'm doing that, there's something going on.
Really? Only pandemics make make Glenn get drunk in a church parking lot, which will probably be the name of this episode.
Oh, dude, you could do that and I wouldn't be offended. I want you to know that.
Drunk
man.
In a church parking lot.
Drunk in a church parking lot.
Why don't we do a couple voicemails and text messages and emails? Here we go. Here we go now.
Playing messages.
This is my moment right here.
Hijinks.
Oh, yeah.
Are we about hijinks?
Well, this email might be about hijinks. This is fantastic. I'm very excited about this email because I've been wanting to play this.
Oh, no.
All right, you can leave us an email at themixcast@gmail.com, voicemail or text message 253-271-4787. This email says, "Hi, Migs. It's me, famous club DJ, DJ Aoki. Your friend Tommy Lee hit me up and told me that you have a banger of a song called Pooped My Pants.
Oh, God, here we go.
I went back and listened to your podcast. And you can trust Tommy Lee with two things, knowing hot blonde skanks and knowing a good banger when you hear one.
Thanks, DJ Aoki.
Free of charge, famous club DJ, DJ Aoki, has remixed the song for you. Enjoy. Signed, famous club DJ, DJ Aoki. P.S. I hear your name is Steve. No way. My name is Steve, too.
It's true.
So.
Do you guys know who DJ Aoki is?
I do.
He is actually a pretty popular club DJ.
Big.
He like remixes a bunch of songs.
Oh, so that's real. He didn't just make that up.
He's a super big DJ. Yeah. I think he has a Vegas residency.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he's like, does all that.
Right.
So without further ado, here is the remix by famous club DJ, DJ Aoki. It is the I Pooped Your Pants remix. Are you ready?
Sure.
Oh, boy. I like it so far.
Yeah, good start.
Make me want to punch Cardi.
Pants, we pooped our pants.
Oh, my God.
It's in my pants. We pooped our pants. Dance, we pooped our pants. It's in my pants. Yeah, we pooped our pants. Pooped our pants. Ah-cha-cha.
Oh, breakdown. And now it's stuck in my head.
I just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're not smiling, you're not human.
Well, I was smiling as I facepalmed.
I don't think he tweaked or auto-tuned or even changed the phrasing.
He didn't have to.
I think he just laid that in there.
It sounds like DJ Aoki put literally no effort into making this.
No, it's not that. It's that what I like is that he didn't augment your vocal performance. He just took it as it was and went, okay, this is the meter. This is the, Steve's got enough of a sense of rhythm that there is actually, I can just do this, bing, bang, boom. And he didn't tweak it. He didn't massage it. He just flew in your vocal. It'd be almost like when
clearly
you
didn't auto-tune
it. Because Tupac's been dead since 1873, and they're still putting out Tupac records.
I'll be honest, I was kind of like hoping for a little auto-tune there, but at the same point in time, I'm very entertained by that song.
Oh, dude, they honored the original performance.
I know.
Dance, we pooped our pants.
I'd love to be at like a club with lights and half naked chicks, and then this is on the PA.
Right?
I'd be like,
what is this?
Dance,
it's a banger.
We pooped our pants.
Banger alert.
Banger alert.
Yeah.
I like you hear Steve's little laugh.
Yeah.
Our pants.
I mean, when I first heard this, when I was in Texas, it did make my day. So.
What, he send this to you? Like, did you
know
the original? The original.
Yeah, the original, not this one.
Wow. You too can remix the Poop My Pants song if you wanted to. Here's what it originally sounded like.
Dance, we pooped our pants. Dance, we pooped our pants. Poop, it's in my pants. We pooped our pants. Dance, we pooped the pants. Yeah, we pooped some pants. All the pants had poop in the pants. And we danced for our pants. We pooped our pants. We pooped our pants. Now we dance.
All right. Okay.
Remix. Thank you, DJ Aoki. That was really nice of you.
That was pretty epic, bro.
I'm at a loss for words.
Me too. Wow.
Can you set that up so we can download it as a ringtone?
Right?
Can someone just make that for us?
Just when Steve calls me.
Why don't we check a voicemail?
Please.
253-271-4787.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Dwayne, a.k.a. Hawknado.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Glenn. I hope this virus doesn't screw up your tour. You guys rock. Just thinking about you. This is a podcast today. Trying to get caught
now
up.
Now I got to wipe down the counter because I spit on it.
Much love to you guys, man.
Just so you guys know, though, he must have.
For y'all. Much love. Bye bye.
Old Hawk Nato must have, I don't know when he sent that, but he has been in touch with me almost every day since I made all the different announcements and since I launched the video.
So the answer has been the question's been answered.
But he's just been sending me funny stuff like, hey, man, I'm hoping you're laughing. I hope your spirits are up. You know, he's been like really supportive. Bless your heart, man.
Oh, he's a great
love
dude.
You, Hawk Nato, dude.
Oh, man. No, that's just funny. We did the whole episode.
Glenn, I really hope
so. Hey, Glenn.
I mean, if we're going to do that, then I got to do this.
Next week,
it'll
be like, Steve, I really hope that wrestling thing pans out for you, buddy.
Yeah, here's a text. 253-271-4787. Migs, when you wrestling again? I just got my refund for Battlemania.
Oh.
Bummer, it's off.
Well.
Then the next one. Hey, Glenn, is there a way any of us can send you food on the road? Big fan of DoorDash or Uber Eats. Just know where to send it and when.
Yeah, to my house.
It's really nice.
Please just send it to my house.
It might come to it, and we'll let you know.
Another text. Listening to that dreadful COVID-19 Simon and Garfunkel song. If I cringe harder, I'll go up my own butt. For crying out loud, I did a terrible version of I Am a Rock about Dwayne Johnson for once, and my brain had diarrhea, and it held up against a gilded plinth of old Simon and Trash Fire Funkel.
Wow.
Whoa.
I think that's from Ziggy.
Can you start with the word gilded again, please?
Can we put out some...
Gilded plinth.
Excuse me? Do I have to bleep that?
I don't even know.
I'm waiting for the... I don't know when it's going to be not too soon for parody songs. But, I mean, I figure that since we're on the internet now, people have already made them. But other than the COVID...
Well, we played
that one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
one.
Really funny. It was more just topical.
Yeah. And very conspiracy theory based because they were saying it was spread from bats.
I thought it was.
I don't know if it is.
No, it all originated. Sorry, I was educated in the Western Maryland public school system. It all originated from a basically like street food, you know, like food trucks or whatever, but like market food. And I want to say it was either a soup that was made with a snake or it was a cooked bat, or maybe the bat ate the snake. I've heard so many different versions, but they do know, they even know the marketplace it came from. And it was basically either a snake or a bat, and it was from market food. You know, you get into Pike's Place Market, and you get like a whatever. You get market food, man. There's just people cooking everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you go overseas, man, they're cooking some weird stuff.
Yeah.
But
that's
like bat is on the menu. But, yeah, it's either from a bat that bit a snake or it's from a snake. And people were buying it and eating it at the market. Like, ooh, yum, yum, little snack or whatever. And then I don't feel good. And now here we are.
Wow.
Sheesh.
Yeah, that's true. They know like what marketplace it came from.
Yeah, trying to see.
Are you finding the details? Do we know if it's a bat or a snake?
It doesn't say that. Just it came from a market. It just came from a market.
It was Trogdor.
You could burninate the countryside.
Here's a text. Voicemail. Let's do another voicemail.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Monday morning, and of course, traffic's low because of coronavirus. So I'm not gonna complain. Anyway. Wanted to say, went to Glenn Beck or Hunt. Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, I did get out of that was, and I agree. The traffic has been amazing thanks to this damn coronavirus thing. That's the one nice thing.
I rode in this morning and
it's insane.
Dude. It was Tawny and I actually. This was badass. Yesterday, she wanted to ride through the city. So we did our zombie apocalypse ride. We came down, we rode up First Ave, up through Amazonville, which there's actual tumbleweeds developing.
Yeah.
And then up over, and then we went clear down over the other side of the hill to Lake Washington, and then we rode the perimeter of Lake Washington during sunset. And I gotta say, it was absolutely beautiful yesterday. It was breathtaking.
Oh yeah.
Something that could possibly be good about this is the fact that maybe companies can realize how many people can actually telecommute and maybe we can curb a little bit of the traffic nightmare that is Seattle in a broader, more general term once all of this comes under, you know, control.
Like whipping through the city, man, honestly, unless it was there's a light. It was, man, coming in here this morning, I got lucky on 4th. It was all greens. And yeah, I gave it the gas. It was kind of fun, man, because there was no one around.
Going home, it takes just as long as it would in the morning at like 4 in the morning when I'm driving in.
There's
like
no
it's
one
like
on the
40,
road.
43 minutes ish to get here. Getting home, it's like maybe 45.
But it's almost eerie though.
Yeah.
There's no one.
But
out.
I've noticed, though, my road rage, I have to temper it from time to time because I'll be stuck behind someone driving really slow or like driving 62 miles per hour
in the passing lane.
And I'm like, dude, all the lanes work just fine. Get out of the fast lane. You're useless. Like, why are you? You're causing traffic.
Meanwhile,
there's old people dying in Seattle.
Why is this guy tailgating?
Oh, so dumb. I know. I gotta like sometimes, even like yesterday, man, I like look at my Facebook and the gym that I go to in Puyallup, Northwest Fit Pro or Fit Co. They just finally had to say, "Hey, look, we're gonna be closed, and we can't yep. we can't stay open. We're gonna hopefully reopen on April 1st, but we'll let you know as it goes along." And at first, I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me!" And I got mad because I'm like, you know, I finally have found like a routine that I really like. I really enjoy working out. I've noticed now I'm starting to see the results, and I'm just happy there, right? Like that's my place to decompress. And I'm like, and then I like stop myself. I'm like, they're closing down because they want to help stop the potential of people dying. Mm-hmm. And I'm so worried about the fact that I can't work out at their gym. Priority, Steve. So I, you know, I'm like, I could work out at home. It might not be as good, but it's better than nothing. But it's just like, why am I getting so pissed off at a place for doing the right thing? And then I was fine.
I don't know if you've seen the video, but a guy was trying to figure out how to work from home, and he just poured out a whole bunch of floor wax on his floor, put a little bit of water on there, and just put his hands on the counter and just started running. And it was a total treadmill. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I just learned some
plus
of those rubber band things.
Plus he saved a small fortune, dude.
Oh, yeah, those things.
The bands.
Those things are good, yeah. Or the TRX machines.
I've got resistance bands.
Yeah, I had the bands, but I never had like the ones with the handle so you could like, you know, still do bicep stuff or like back stuff and other things like that.
I had a set of those, but I think they were, it irritated me because I think they were just too long.
Yeah, it depends on which ones you get.
I couldn't get enough resistance to be worth anything, and then I'm like, if I hook this on a doorknob and walk over there, it's going to come off the doorknob.
Sometimes you have to tie a knot.
It'll hit me in the face so hard it'll blow me through a damn window.
Right.
So somebody walking by my house will just see me go out this window, like in my underwear wearing this with this giant red gum band, and you can't have these things going on. You know, people are sick.
Hey, shout out to Stevie, the Packers fan. He just sent us an email, and I love that he got all statistician for us, because I think last week we mentioned how Tatum, her three-month birthday was on Friday the 13th, and she was born on Friday
the
13th. Oh, and I
asked how many of those she would have in her lifetime. Yeah, dude.
So Steve wrote, I got bored, and I acted on Glenn's suggestion.
He was bored, Rev.
Well,
he was bored,
that's
bro.
That's fine. He was making good use of his time by being a statistician for us.
Yes.
I get it. That's
so
a callback.
He wanted to find out which future Friday the 13th in December would be for Tatum,
mm-hmm.
when she's age 5 in 2024, when she's age 11 in 2030, when she's age 22 in 2040, age 28 in 2047, and that's as far as I wanted to go. It gets creepy from here on out, from Stevie. Stevie, you rock. Thank you.
How old will you be in 2047, Steve?
Ooh. What are we, 2020 right now,
you're 45
right?
Now?
Yeah, so what are we adding, another 27 years?
Oh, yeah, you'll be like 70, won't you?
70-something. I don't know.
Sorry.
So when she's 28, I'll be 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be old.
That sounds about right.
That's all right. I'll still be wrestling.
Will you?
No. I'll probably be like my dad yelling about shoehorns and my knees.
Getting into fist fights with strangers.
Bitching about my knees, breaking into other people's cars and honking
the
horn.
You have to do to your daughter what your father has done to you, dude.
Right? I need to scar her like I'm scarred. All right, why don't we get on out of here? I think, that's good.
Right? Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
All right.
Everyone
shows to promote?
No.
Listen,
I don't have
if you
want
to hear a
up.
Really dated Grid City podcast, you can listen to next week's episode where we talk about, hey, guys, just go out to bars. It's fine.
Yeah. You know what, though? What you can do is go to glencannon.net and buy yourself some merchandise.
Yeah, go to...
How about our local musicians?
Yeah. I am Steve Miggs at Pro Wrestling Tees.
Buy a t-shirt. I got some new ones up there.
I do have some stuff I'm going to be announcing, but... You know, we won't be playing anytime soon.
I don't think we're going to be playing that. There's a good chance that Bruiser Brody show won't be happening.
Oh, God.
Isn't that supposed to be in May?
It's May 30th.
May 30th. Well, you know what? We might.
My convention, CryptoCon in May, the beginning of May got canceled.
Dude, we have
my birthday's going to get canceled.
Mid-May, we were going to Hawaii. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
Damn this stupid freaking coronavirus.
It's a weird thing that happened.
Again, old people are dying.
Gotta stay positive.
Gotta stay positive. That's not the right way.
Wait.
Old people are dying.
No. Wait, hold on. Let me start that off again.
Can you isolate
starting
that,
the song
please?
Again. Starting the song again so we can go through it again. Have another preamble.
Hello.
Do over.
Old people are dying. You gotta stay positive.
Old people are dying. Stay positive. And buy Glenn's shirts.
Yeah. You know, I've got a lot of them.
Yeah. Listen to the Grit City Podcast.
I'm going
to
stitch them together into a parachute and then test them from the roof of the Columbia Tower. The good news is if it fails, I won't hurt anyone below me because no one's out.
If you're bored, maybe you remix the Tatum song.
Yeah!
Maybe you hit up some of your favorite... Well, now, there's no wrestling promotions to even put on shows, so no. I can't even have you be my advocate.
Yeah, do you have anything going on, Steve?
No, I'm completely effed.
Rev, do you have anything to announce?
I can't even practice wrestling.
No, I'm going home. I'm staying home, and I'm... Yeah, like I had to cancel my D&D game. Like, everything. Was I'm staying at home
a
with
plague
my...
somewhere along the campaign. Someone rolled the wrong die. And...
No, I just don't want. I just don't want seven people in my house. Yeah. Like, that's just all it is.
Can I swing by?
No.
You know, it's been weird because I have a dry, shallow cough because I'm about 2 weeks off cigarettes. And
talk about bong hits.
So
man.
I cough and I'm like, who's nervous?
Oh, great, thanks a lot. You know, old people are dying. Stay positive.
Old people always die, dude. Nothing's really changed. Oh, God, I'm going to hell for that one.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you know where to go visit if you want to plead your case. Just
yeah,
drink some more alcohol.
I found a location.
Yeah, you know the church to go to.
I found a place.
You guys know we're just being a bunch of jackasses. We love you all. Yeah, we only hope that hopefully next week we have optimism about whatever's going on in this world, but just be cool to each other. I mean, we always say to stay positive, but people are losing their minds. Don't be dicks on social media.
Be kind. Be patient.
And don't yell at your person outside a grocery store or whatever it is that you're going, man. Everyone's freaking out and everyone's handling it differently. If we could just shower everyone with kindness, I think it's going to help people deal with the uncertainty that we have happening at any given moment right now.
Kindness is golden. Shower them with it.
Shower them with bleach, too, if you're concerned about their medical status.
And if they're into it, give them a golden shower. Stay positive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.